Good morning.
Good morning.
Was that sufficiently loud? There you go. So glad to see everyone. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Fort Wayne. Welcome to a community that prizes the diversity of identities and beliefs among us. Welcome to a site that was once part of a forest that stretched for 1,000 miles. And was inhabited for millennia by people whose love for this land and its waters and creatures our society is only dimly beginning to appreciate. Welcome to a denomination that has no creed, but does have values anchored in love, the values of interdependence, pluralism, justice, transformation, generosity, and equity. If those values resonate with you, we hope you will come here regularly to explore them. My name is Evan Davis. I am a formerly slender white male nearing my 75th birthday with grayish hair that looks a lot fuller from the front than from the back. I'm wearing glasses, a green shirt, and gray trousers. My wife, Patty, and I joined this congregation 38 years ago and have served in numerous capacities. At present, I serve on the Endowment, Nominating, and Connections Committees, as well as the Steering Committee for the newly formed Hoosiers for Separation of Church and State. My particular areas of activity here are but a few of the many ways you can become involved in UUCFW. And I should have mentioned, I'm also in the choir that got wet last night, but I escaped and got out of there before the baseball game rain fell on everybody. But it was great to be with the singing choir that really hit the national anthem right out of the park. We did a great job. Anyway, getting involved with aspects, whether it's committees or whatever, or activities, is the best way to get involved with and connect with the people here. That's one of the key things that I've talked to a lot of people about over the years, is that if you're fairly new here, you don't know people, making those connections through activities, the conversations that occur there, the shared joys and labors or whatever, is really a very helpful thing. And I would put in a plug at this point for the grounds crew that needs help with the weeding and other projects. If you enjoy just the physical activity, some of us are getting past that point a bit, but the folks who still are enthusiastic on that level, Jim Reeder there would be glad to have your help with anything along those lines. If you do want to keep in touch with us, I hope you have had a chance, if you're new, to have filled out one of our forms on the tablet or the paper form out in the foyer. There's a QR code in front of you on the pockets behind the chairs. If you have not yet signed up to be on our mailing list, so we can let you know what's happening, but please do that. And there is an opportunity next Saturday morning, if you're fairly new here and interested in perhaps joining us, next Saturday morning at 9:30, DeKale here and I will be conducting an introduction to Unitarian Universalism class. It's about both the denomination, the history and present activities of the UUA, as well as our congregation. That, if you are interested in membership, that class itself is a requirement before becoming a member. So if you're at all interested, I was just told about someone who took it some time ago and now is ready to join, so we're happy to have that happen, but we do encourage people to take part in that class. So next Saturday at 9:30 is the next one. I know we have at least three other announcements right now. Ruth DeWitt, Emery Schlichtenmeyer, and Terry Swim. If you each want to come forward, please. Oh, and Kaylin. Kaylin's got one too, okay.
I'm Emery Schlichtenmeyer. I'm involved with the queer group here. And For those of you who don't know, former Kentucky County Clerk Kim Davis recently formally requested that the Supreme Court revisit the Obergefell ruling from 2015 that legalized same-sex marriage across the country. Now, whether that's going to be taken up or not is a matter of debate, but in anticipation of any potential changes, local drag queen Delalicious officiated same-sex weddings last night at After Dark, and two queer couples had a beautiful, I almost cried, it was so cute. but our group, the queer group, and the congregation here want to put on a lunchtime reception to celebrate these marriages, give them a more traditional celebration if that's what they want, with a DJ and food and cake. So we are looking for volunteers from the congregation to help staff the event, prepare and serve the food, greeters, help set up and clean up, and for people to donate the food. We have a professional DJ, a baker for cakes, and a photographer, but we do need to provide the food as a congregation. So if you're interested in getting involved with that, please come find me, and I can get you signed up for that. Thank you. Oh, sorry, yes. I get so nervous up here. It's August 30th, so it's not this upcoming Saturday, but the Saturday after that. And we need volunteers for setup. We have the building from 8 to 5. The event itself is noon to 4.
So. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello, everybody. I would like to say that today is our pizza packets and pledges pizza party. I just came up to let you know that after service today, it's going to be just a little bit different. So you may have seen when you came in, we have the boxes with the letters, and that's going to indicate where you go for your pizza parlor. There are three in the church. So no traditional hospitality, but these are comfortable chats that you're going to have with stewardship. They're not going to take super long. The Bajans are coming today. But we have plenty of pizza coming, and it doesn't look like we've got a tremendously huge crowd, so I hope you're hungry. Good to see all of you, and we really need you to come, and we'll have a good time. Thanks.
Okay, and my announcement is for an event that's happening on September 7th, which, if you don't know, is Reverend Mandy's first day in the pulpit. So we expect a good crowd. It'll be a very fun and celebratory Sunday. As part of my role as worship arts director, I have been working with the rabbi over at our neighbors, the Temple of Eshalom, and we are co-hosting an event after the service, from 1 to 3 p.m. on that day, and we've actually invited Fort Wayne Pride Band to come perform and play. The intention is just to gather with our neighbors and in our community. We're calling it a block party. It's free, and we're gonna be advertising to Woodhurst and Southwood Park, so we hope you all will come. We've booked Whip and Chill, which is an ice cream food truck, to come. We would invite you to pack a sandwich. There won't be like a lunch food truck, but there will be a dessert food truck. So we hope you'll stick around after the service and bring a lawn chair. We're gonna have some games, but mostly we'll just be enjoying hopefully the good weather and our community and our neighbors in a low-key but celebratory musical event. 1 to 3, September 7th, and I think that's it for now.
And as Evan said, one way to feel like you belong is to volunteer. We need hospitality, folks.
I would add, I guess, where we're making announcements about activities. I hope any of you interested in attending our forum September 13th, when I say our, I mean the Hoosiers for Separation of Church and State, will be September 13th, Saturday, at the Allen County Public Library from 1 to 5. We have three speakers and four panelists lined up to talk about the impact of Christian nationalism on our constitutional rights. And if that's of all concern to you, check with Rebecca Reeder. Where's Rebecca? She can help you get registered for that.
You can register through the newsletter this week.
Okay, it'll be in the newsletter this week. So please look for that if you're interested in taking part. So thank you, everyone, for those. Now, please join me in waving hello to our members and friends attending via Zoom. And then take a few minutes, a minute or so here. And I'm going to be trying to work this thing. I forgot to practice this morning, but you'll hear a sound after a minute, so please settle back after that. But say hi to your friends.
And the ones you don't know.
Say hi to people you don't know, too. This is a team effort today. This is a team effort. We have people with certain skills that we lean on. And Dee, I'm going to ask you again to rise. Dee is going to light our chalice. The flame in the chalice symbolizes such traditional UU principles as the search for truth and meaning and the right of conscience. And I think in particular those principles are at risk in our current world. We light it to center ourselves on the importance of our time together and to visualize other chalices being lit this morning around the world. Thank you, Dee. We now ask that you join in singing Circle Round for Freedom, and that's hymn 155 in the older book, but obviously this music is up there. Thank you. The Unitarian Universalist denomination, of which we are a part, holds an annual convention called General Assembly, or GA for short, to conduct denominational business and to inspire attendees with new connections, new ideas, and renewed energy. Since COVID-19 struck 6 years ago, GA has been either virtual or hybrid, of virtual and in person. And this past June, it was a hybrid, with some people gathered in Baltimore and others, including myself, Dee Kale, and Terry Swim, attending online. The messages in today's services are inspired by what inspired the three of us as we took part in this assembly from afar. So I will offer some of my thoughts, and then as service progresses, you'll hear from Terry and Dee. For generations, the Ware Lecture at GA has been the premier platform offered by Unitarians and later Unitarian Universalists to outsiders who may have something important to tell us. To say that the speech given this year by Amara Jones was my highlight might suggest it made me happy or hopeful. It did not, but it was certainly important and very challenging. Jones said what I otherwise barely heard at GA and never hear from the Democratic Party, that Christian nationalism is a mortal threat to our way of life and even our lives. As a black trans journalist, Jones spoke with power and painfully astute analysis of how the Donald Trump campaign successfully targeted the trans population in order to shave votes away from Kamala Harris in swing states. She noted that that was their biggest ad buy in the whole campaign. Further, she argued the effort to dehumanize trans people was a test project for exercising control over the wider population. Just this past week, we are seeing news stories about efforts to overturn gay marriage and to even deny women the vote. While Christian nationalists are too enthusiastic about women making babies for half of our population to be at existential risk, at least until the Stepford Wives can be perfected, I see no fault in Jones's fear for trans lives, gay lives, immigrants' lives, and others. There's a church in Indianapolis telling gay people to just go out and die. And our government is building a de facto prison in Indianapolis for hundreds of brown-skinned immigrants captured by masked, anonymous gunmen. If the concept of due process can be bent so far as to do that, how does it ultimately protect the rest of us? I don't agree with everything Jones said. Her insistence that a failure to always live up to our values translates to not having values diminishes what I believe is the central tension of morality, the conflicts among our values. That said, however, her charge to our denomination and to our nation to do much better is, to my mind, inarguable. We liberals, and I include myself, even after admiring our trans minister the past 2 years, did not step forward enough as the champions trans people needed last November. And of course, we also needed to be their champions to defend ourselves against Trump's election and all the destruction that is Project 2025. In particular, Jones explained, we let ourselves be seduced by a brilliantly orchestrated campaign in which such tiny matters as the status of trans athletes took the national stage, while the difficulty and heartbreak of growing up in a body that does not match your gender was largely ignored. As I see it, we were as asleep at the switch on the anti-trans campaign in 2024 as we were on the defund the police fiasco in 2020. But while the first failure cost us a few seats in Congress, the second one has cost us far beyond calculation. Of course, trans people were only stand-ins for diversity generally, all of which is now under attack. We failed to present a vision of diversity within a single large country that was attractive and persuasive enough to resist the upsurge of traditional tribalism exemplified by Christian nationalism. Part of me shares the widespread instinct to step back and assess how and why we failed. I do believe we relied too much on believing the moral arc of the universe bends our way. We didn't adequately consider that the arc, if it actually exists, was bent so far that it would snap back and slap us in our faces or our groins. Given that most societies in history have been relatively uniform in culture, and especially religion, or else have had authoritarian forms of government holding things together, I think we are seeing just how daunting a project it is to have a tremendously diverse population of 340 million people with beliefs, ideals, goals, and histories that are often in conflict, somehow manage to be a democratic e pluribus unum out of many one. Nonetheless, I am proud of the UUA for inviting Jones to speak and for the warm reception the delegates in Baltimore gave her. Regardless of how difficult it will be to achieve, that truly diverse democratic society is the embodiment of our Unitarian Universalist principles and values. Personally, I do not expect to live long enough to see significantly better days again. But I am doubling down on working for that day when our successors will enjoy them. Your presence in this room and through Zoom suggests you want to do your part in what is going to be a long struggle. Thank you for that. I can't promise you any particular grand result for your efforts, but if you are searching for meaning and for a way to live into your values, this is the place to be. Thank you. Some of you may remember the old Troika thing in the Soviet Union, the three-headed leadership. And we had a change this morning that I failed to keep track of. So please do join us in saying our covenant this morning. I think most of you know it. Love is the spirit of this church, and service is our law. To dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another, this is our covenant. And could you leave that up for a minute? Just for a minute. Hang on to that, folks. Thank you very much. And who's doing the...
Me. Okay. That's my part. Okay. Good morning. My name is Dee Kale, and I am cisgendered and wearing colorful clothes, and I have gray hair and red glasses. The Unitarian Universalist Association is actually an international group of UU congregations that covenant together to help each other in our spiritual and... Okay. Now it's my turn. Given that our UUA GA this year was offered in person and virtually, like Evan said, they made an attempt to focus people into areas of learning called cohorts. They asked us all the question, what is the moment we are living? And how do we need to move forward? We were asked to choose a cohort and follow it through for the entire GA, allowing for the times required for the delegates to learn about the items that we needed to participate in and vote. Nastasia, Evan, and I determined that the cohort for community faith development might be useful for our congregation. Initially, the leaders reported from some practice groups that they had during the spring of 2025 that had given them information to share about faith development. Some of the statements that were given were these. First of all, be curious and not afraid. Touching the innate curiosity of everyone, no matter what age, opens up so many possibilities. Not all of them will work, but that's not something to be afraid of. Next, faith development equals leadership development equals membership development. Think about that. The people who are coming to our congregation are hopefully looking for others to sit with them as they struggle through some of life's questions. If they find people that are able to walk along life's journey with them, they may be more interested in supporting the congregation with whatever they can give of time, talent, or treasure. They also noted that there was hunger for play, storytelling, and deep listening. This was true for all ages. Religious educators were searching for ways to allow multi-generational groups to do those things together. They also felt a need for community faith development to help break down the generational divide. They talked about the broken bonds between generations and learning in all directions. Healing those bonds allows for more connections and learning in all directions, from elder to child, child to youth, young adult to elder, and so on. In one congregation, the youth taught a coming-of-age class to the elders. Thought that was an interesting thought. Also reported was that justice-making is living our faith. When our congregations work toward justice, including our young people in the process, we are showing how to live our values. It is our faith in action. Our congregations can be a place of nourishment and support for everyone. The world that we are living in at the moment requires safe spaces for each other to build the energy and learn new ways to live into our values. These ideas led to the concept of whole church RE, which can provide a deeper relationship with our faith, grounded in love. This is a way to build muscle together and deepen our roots in community, joy, creativity, and connections to support our justice work and build resilience together for the long haul. Edith, can I have my slide? There it is. I love this slide because it shows the aspect of whole church RE. Creative contemplation, community making, public witness, joyful connections, sacred stories, faithful conversations, all rooted in love. There were multiple rationales or reasons to move congregations to the whole church model. Whole Church RE can infuse congregations with multicultural values and practices that are antidotes to white supremacy culture. One reason we need to equip congregations, maybe to do Whole Church RE, is to help distribute the effort toward a shared ministry, especially with a three-quarter time minister. It focuses on serving the whole person or family and must be an integral part of the church structure. A move to whole church RE is not simply about programming. It's a cultural shift within the congregation that could take years to implement. Whether this is an idea that we as a congregation are willing to move into is not my decision to make. I do think, however, that we can learn much from each other, no matter our age, culture, gender, background, or identity, and it might be a good idea to try to do things a little differently from time to time. We never know what we might learn. And with that, we get to learn a little more.
B is for voting. A is for active participation. B is for building a more equal nation.
I'll show the pictures.
Talk really loud into the mic.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. She's getting coaching from both sides.
C is for citizens' rights and our duty. D is for different, our strength and our beauty. E is for management. We all need to care for free, F for a free press to find facts and share. G is for govern, to lead and to guide. H is for homelands that we've occupied. I is for inching ahead bit by bit. The march is a long one, but we cannot quit. J is for judges. They're meant to be fair. To be neutral, they swear. K is for knowing that you can take part. L is for local, and that's where you start. M is for matter. And every vote does. And is for never forgetting what was.
Close. Speak into the microphone.
O is for onward, keep progress in sight. P is for protest when we need to fight. Q is for questions, I've got one or three. R is for represent, they work for me. S is for suffrage, the right to a vote. This fight is ongoing, but not history's footnote. T is for talented teachers in schools. Well-informed citizens don't suffer fools. U is for unbought, unbossed, undeterred. V is for voting to make your voice heard. W is working for change, win or lose. X marks a spot on the ballot you choose. Y is for you, we need everyone's hand. Z is for zeal, please bring yours, take a stand. The end.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I'm going to take us back in time a little bit. In 2022, we created a mission and vision task force to review and revise as necessary our statements. With the help of Mark Ewart's bottom-up visioning processes, we not only revised those statements, but also created our strategic plan. As part of that plan, we determined that we had four overarching goals. I'm only going to give you two as a reminder. If you're curious, you can go find the other two. So one of those is engaging our congregation, which we defined as offering opportunities for members and friends to respectfully explore spirituality and sources of wisdom while advocating for religious freedom within the larger community. The second item I want to highlight is engaging our community, which was defined as actively engaging with and serving our local communities by building relationships, identifying shared values, supporting one another in good works, and working collaboratively for justice. Since then, we have done a lot of work towards those ends. I'm going to give you some examples of how we are living and supporting engagement within and outside of our congregation. And please don't be offended if I don't give something you've done as an example. I just pulled a few. Oh no, I think my phone's ringing. So just ignore it. We have many examples. Okay, for example, our advocates for environmental justice held a climate justice revival. They've cleaned up sections of a greenway, and they planted a tree right out there. The Palestine-Gaza Group of Five is focusing on calling for a ceasefire in Gaza, advocating for the end of apartheid for Palestine, and plans to hold teach-ins in the near future. Hoosiers for the Separation of Church and State have held movie discussions and co-sponsored multiple rallies at the courthouse to get the word out. Collectively, we are working to bind up the broken, create peace, and restore wounds of generations. You can put up slide one if you're ready. So the General Assembly, the next word wasn't going to flow right, as in previous years, voted on ways that congregations can act locally to address national issues. There are two separate social witness processes for collectively discerning social justice actions to clarify our shared commitments to justice, equity, and compassion. Those are called congregational study/action issues and actions for immediate witness. So I'm going to talk a little bit about each. So the congregational study/action issues, I don't remember ever hearing about these before, so if someone spoke, I apologize. I must have been sleeping at that point. So these are issues selected by UU congregations for 3 years of study. So you engage in study, reflection, and action during that 3-year period. The purpose is to provide member congregations with an opportunity to mobilize energy, ideas, and resources around a common issue. Slide number 2 shows us that this year they selected abolition, transformation, and faith formation as their 3-year study issue. This is specifically about mass incarceration. So for those of you that were interested in the Allen County jail situation, you might want to find out more about this. I think the second item for social justice is more familiar to many of us because we've been talking about the actions of immediate witness for a couple of years now. These are statements about a significant action, event, or development in the world that necessitates immediate engagement and action among UU member congregations and groups. The AIW process allows Unitarian Universalists to respond quickly to social issues that are deemed urgent. AWIs are used by congregations in local efforts and empower them to take action and recommend action for other groups as well. Woo, she's ahead of me. So they actually supported 3 acts of immediate witness this year. So we declare and affirm immigrants are people who have inherent worth and inalienable rights. Sorry, Apparently, I'm starting on the right side. We're not going to do them in order. I didn't even notice that. Then we're going back to the left, fateful defiance of authoritarianism, a call for action, reaffirming our covenants for democracy and freedom. And then the middle issue is defending IQ plus freedom amid funding crisis, a call for global solidarity. I want to go back to the song that we sang earlier and remind you of the words, because these issues clearly connect perfectly to the words of that song. Circle round for freedom, circle round for peace. For all of us imprisoned, circle for release. Circle for the planet, circle for each soul. Circle for the children of our children. Keep the circle whole. As a congregation, we can choose to do nothing in response to these four opportunities. Or we can select one to focus our efforts on. Or we can do parts of all four. The call to action is our own. What might you want to do in response to these national issues? Let's join together in our closing hymn. Number 121, We Build a Land.
We build a land where we bind.
Our time together is finished, but our work is not yet done. May our spirits be renewed and our purpose more clear as we meet the challenges in the days, weeks, months, and years to come. So mote it be.